Hello and welcome. This is the Riverdale High AV Club and
the Island Library Podcast.
To introduce myself, I'm Megan.
Oh yeah, I'm Ezra. Sorry, I forgot about that part.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Joe.
Perfect.
Yay! We're doing a super fun crossover episode where we talk about books.
Where all our universes collide and... You're listening to the Riverdale High AV Club on an island with a library. It's a nice little cinematic universe crossover, guys.
Be careful of the crabs. They do bite.
Oh, good to know.
Keep that out. That same is true in Riverdale, actually.
Yeah, all those Riverdale crabs.
Yeah, that was their sports team, the Fightin' Crabs.
Uh-huh, yeah. You know. There's probably something super generic. Bulldogs? I don't know.
Maybe.
Sounds about right.
I believe we have a random question to get us started.
Yes. So, on the island, we tend to do a question of the week, and I normally sing the intro, but I'm not going to do that today. Just because I've got more of an audience. But normally on the island, I put Laura under pressure and ask her a fun question. So I thought I would bring that to this podcast with me today.
Please.
So it's a this or that, and it has come from Holly Wang. That's who the story template is from, so that's where I've stolen it from. So the first one is Netflix or YouTube?
I think YouTube also, honestly.
Which is funny because all the shows we talk about on the podcast are on Netflix, but all the shows I watch for endless hours while I do other things in my life are on YouTube.
The Archie TV movie from the 90s is also on YouTube. So
that is true.
That's
if you want to watch
To
Riverdale and back
that's
again.
That's a pretty major selling point then, to be fair.
Yeah,
pretty great.
Right?
What about you, Laura?
Probably YouTube. I think I spend more time on YouTube than Netflix, although I would be sad to give it up.
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, no, very sad.
So next one, phone call or text?
Oh God, text.
Yeah, I think text. Yeah. If my go-to is to text to see if I can call someone, then it's a text, I think.
I only call my mom or my wife. No one else. Yeah.
If I call my mom, I have to start the call by saying, don't worry, there's no bad news. Because normally when we call each other, it's because there's been some kind of tragedy that has to be addressed right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
100% text.
So I'm against the grain. I'm phone call. Whoa, just because
really?
I really struggle with text messages. Like Laura knows this. Like if I'm having a stressful moment, I ring because I can hear people's tone. Because
that
from text,
true.
I feel like it's quite open to interpretation.
Oh, God.
And then I get myself really worked up even more. So I prefer phone calls.
That's fair.
I mean, the worst part about a text is you can like sit there and keep like looking back at it and be like, well, what if they meant it this way?
Yes.
And it just, like, slowly drives you insane.
I definitely need 100 emojis in all my texts, though.
Yeah.
Because, like,
same.
I have one friend who will just text back, like, okay, no emojis, no exclamation mark. And I'm like, oh my God, she's mad at me. She's don't want to be my friend anymore. She hates me. What did I do?
A certain male relative of ours is very
bad. You mean
at
dad?
That. Oh, yeah, dad. Ugh. He's really bad at that as well.
So my mom went for a stage of just putting K.
Oh, God.
Okay. And
oh,
I was just like, you gotta stop that. You gotta stop
God,
that.
God, the anxiety that would give me.
Every now and then I'll yell at dad, and then he'll send me like 75 emojis with every text, and I'm like, this is so much better.
It really is.
You think this is overkill, but for me, this is like about right.
I'm so soothed by this.
So next one, TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
I'm so old, I don't know how TikTok works.
My girlfriend uses TikTok, and I watch the ones she shows me with dogs in it. But yeah, Instagram all the way, really. Laura, what about you?
Yeah, Instagram. I have a friend who got super into TikTok, and she started showing me them, and you know they're funny, but I don't understand. And then people are like, "Oh, I love grass TikTok with all the grass bio," and I'm like, "I love that that's a thing, but I don't understand." So I'll stick to Instagram.
It gets so niche.
Yeah.
So I love Instagram, but during lockdown, I have really got into watching people's TikToks just because some of them are hilarious. And then I swiftly went off it again because of Draco Talk, like Draco Malfoy's TikTok. Like, it's not him, it's people like being him. That's honestly hilarious. Just go down it. Like, I'm not hating. But also, I was like, okay, this has made me feel really old now. So I'm going to go back to the gram
where I obviously belong.
Yeah.
It's called Gram for a reason, right?
Like, yeah.
Gram. It's Gran, actually, but someone misspelled it.
Yeah, exactly. Instagram.
Laptop or tablet?
Oh, laptop.
Here I am at my desktop. I guess laptop.
Yeah, try and take that on a plane with you, Megan.
I know. I had to buy a laptop this year because I was like, I guess I'd need one.
Yeah.
Laura?
Yeah, laptop. I do have a tablet somewhere that I was bought as a present about 4 years ago that every so often comes out because it's like super portable, but now we named her Lisa. She's now really old, and every time we turn her on, she has to download a million updates, and she's getting slower and slower each time.
Oh no.
And we're like, I'm so sorry, Lisa, we don't take proper care of you. So that's my only experience with a tablet, experiencing intense guilt. Like, I don't think I'm doing this right.
The laptop we got.
It's like any piece of technology, man.
Fold it around backwards, and then it kind of turns into a tablet.
Oh.
So that's my wife does all the technology, and I'm just like,
is that like a laplet then?
I guess.
Or a tap top?
It's like you're breaking a spine, and you just turn it around backwards, and then it's like in tablet mode, and it's like a giant cell phone, and I don't know what to do with it.
Wow.
That makes me a bit uncomfortable.
I know. She'll like flip it around, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're hurting it.
Yeah, that would stress the hell out of me, man.
But it's designed that way. It's like my new phone I just got is waterproof, and I'm like, no, that can't be right. I'm not.
Yeah, my phone's waterproof apparently as well. I'm like, I'm not putting that in the swimming pool to find out, because definitely mine will be the faulty one. So I'm fancy. I'm very fancy, and I have like a good tablet. So it's like an iPad Pro. So mine does the functions of a laptop, but it's a lot more like convenient for me for travel purposes.
Hell
so
yeah.
I'm going to go with my trusty tablet. I don't even have a laptop.
All my kind of Freudian slip there and joint team laptop anyway, though. So
yeah,
we can tell where she really wants
something.
To be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In her heart of hearts.
It, she knows.
I do. Spotify or Apple Music?
Oh, Spotify.
Easy, yeah.
I don't really use either. I just go back to YouTube. Can I choose YouTube again? I use YouTube to listen to music. Secret
I might allow it. I might allow it for this one. I'm a Spotify lover. Because I already subscribed to Spotify, and then Apple Music decided to get involved, and I was like, I'm not paying for two memberships to listen to the same music. So, sorry, Apple, but you've lost out. And then finally, I feel like we should all know the answer to this one, but audiobook or podcast?
Oh, podcast.
I think podcast, honestly.
Imagine if we all went
audiobook. I think I have to go podcast.
It would be hilarious. All our listeners would riot.
And that was this or that.
Yay! That was so
fun.
It's a very good icebreaker. I appreciate that.
That is.
Yeah. So, what did you guys read?
We read two books.
We did Interview with a Vixen by Rebecca Barrow, and we did Field Notes on Love by, I believe, Jennifer E. Smith, and they were super fun, both of them. I liked them a lot. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, because we all read the same two, right? So.
Right? I hope
yeah,
that I'm right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we read Field Notes on Love. It was one of the episodes that we did a joint. Well, we both read this because most weeks we each read a different book, but we both read Field Notes on Love. And yeah, then in the last week we both read Interview with the Vixen as well, which was a lot of fun.
It's actually quite good that when we sat down and we were like, right, what book should we recommend? And we picked Field Notes on Love, not knowing what Interview with the Vixen was going to be like. But actually the books are very close in their like fun.
Yeah.
Young sort of writing style, which was it's quite clever, really.
It's
very
coordinated.
It's like we planned it, but
we did well on that. Yeah, no, it kind of like they did tie interestingly, like kind of nicely together, and especially considering like the season, it feels like we're coming out of Halloween and we're moving into like the fun, cozy time of year, you know, winter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like they kind of were those two camps, in my opinion. Yes, I mean, Field Notes on Love was just adorable.
Yeah. Okay, it super made me want to take a train ride, though, and I can't see any people right now, so I was like, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't go on a train, it's a tube of disease.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, planning my next vacation, though.
Yeah.
Every time Cheryl started talking about a party, I was like, how many people can you have in one place? I mean, corona disaster.
Also, I didn't realize that Interview with the Vixen was published after COVID had started, so...
Whoa, really?
Yeah, because I was on the author's Instagram, and she was like, it's weird seeing your book published for the first time, like, after it's in stores already. But COVID publishing, and I was like, when did this come out? I guess this winter. Spring.
Oh. Yeah, it's very recent. I think when we had a look for our recording, it's very, very recent because we were both quite hungry to read the next book.
Yeah.
And now we've got to wait. Like, what is even that?
Yeah, I know there's the Jughead one, but that's the first in the series. We haven't done that one yet. Huh.
The Archie horror.
There you go, Jughead. Do you remember Jughead, Laura?
Do they talk about him going fishing? Is that where we find out why he ended up on that fishing trip and not part of his story?
I think so, werewolf. Actually. Yeah, he's a werewolf.
Oh,
so is he like deliberately staying away?
Yeah, so we got to talk to Rebecca Barrow about this book, which was super cool. And she said that her communication with the author of the Jughead book was like, okay, we're not going to put Jughead in this one and we're just not going to talk about it.
Yeah, and that was about it.
Because that would be a lot. Try and collaborate. Oh.
So I've watched like the TV show, so I knew some of the characters, but Laura was very new to all of this, so I was like...
I've literally never seen an episode of Riverdale. I'm coming in completely blind.
So the thing with this book too, it's like partly based on Riverdale, partly based on the traditional Archie comics, and then there's like modern Archie that's all edgy and stuff, and so there's the Vampironica series, which it's also... I think mostly based on, but it's not the same exact storyline. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And so there's a Jughead one, too.
Yeah, so there's another series called Jughead the Hunger. And there's actually another series called Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica.
That's correct.
Which I haven't read.
Oh, the battle we've all been waiting for.
There's Archie versus Predator, too, which is straight up the, like, traditional classic Archie comic style that you would buy in, like, a grocery store checkout line. And
it's so good.
Except the Predator is, like, ripping people's spines out and stuff, and it's shocking.
It's so good, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That sounds wild.
So season two, we'll do a crossover, and you'll get our live reactions to this book.
Yes.
This one, it sounds so much wild.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I was reading this one, and I was actually like, oh, she's so casual about, like, just having to, like, kill this vampire.
Oh,
but
yeah.
This is, like, a new level of, like, just casual.
Yeah.
Just got to take on this predator. It's great. It's fine.
No, that one is
not
all
bothered.
The amount of, like, references and, like, horny 80s jokes they shove into that comic, too, is insane.
Oh, that's amazing. I need it in my life. I also am a bit tempted by the Jughead being a vampire, a werewolf, mainly because when I was trying to explain to Laura, like, when I read the blurb, and she was like, I don't think he's even mentioned. I was like, no, I think he's on a fishing trip. I don't know where he is. And then she was like, oh, right, okay. And now that I know that he's actually, you know, just off chilling somewhere, just, like, being a werewolf,
I know.
I need that in my life. I need to find out what he's doing.
I don't think it was until, like, the last few pages that I realized Jughead hadn't shown up in the entire book. But it was like they were like, hey, when Jughead gets back from his trip. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, Jughead hasn't been here at all.
It was very Veronica heavy.
When I came to reread the blurb for recording, and I was like, oh yeah, so everyone knows the characters, blah, blah, blah. Jughead? There's a Jughead?
Yeah, don't forget his cousin Souphead and sister Jellybean that are all canon.
Is this a thing? I don't know if you're messing with me or if this is a thing.
Those are all real characters.
100%.
Souphead didn't make the show, I don't think, but Jellybean
Justice
does.
Justice for Souphead.
Yeah. Justice for Souphead, for sure.
Seriously.
It's also in the comics, like the original comics, he has a pin that makes him irresistible to women, and that's just
Jughead,
a thing.
Jughead, not Souphead.
Yeah,
thank
like
you for clarifying,
at one point,
Ezra.
Betty's like,
yeah.
Betty's like, hey, Jughead, you still have that pin that makes you irresistible? And he's like, of course, and puts it on his hat. Like, What, guys?
Yeah.
What a no.
And I'm also not judging him for, like, the hat situation, but I'm pretty sure he never washes it. So, like,
oh, no.
Both an irresistible pen and then an unwashed hat meet worlds.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the two just cancel each other out?
I think so.
Jughead's, like, very weirdly magical in a lot of ways mm-hmm. that I don't quite understand.
We're talking a lot about someone who is in neither of the books we read.
It's true.
I mean, he could have been in Field Notes on Love, for all we know. He could have just been there, just running along the
Maybe
train.
Maybe that's where he was, instead of being in this book.
He probably would take, like, a train trip to eat some good food or something. Maybe he'd get interviewed by May yeah. and Hugo on their trip.
Aww.
Another yes. unexpected crossover.
Someone should write that short story.
That would be fun.
Did you love all the interviews?
I loved the interviews. Gosh. And I also, I think at one, I don't remember where they were. They were on a different train than the first one. And they were like, yeah. And then some people laughed at us when we asked them for an interview. And one guy flipped us off. And I was like, the flipping off seems like
That's
a lot.
Excessive.
But if I was on a train and someone was like, can we interview you about love? I'd be like, I don't know. Who are you? Your children? Uh-huh. Okay.
I also can definitely believe the getting flipped off part. Just
well, I believe
like,
it. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't do that.
It
but...
seemed no, totally. But yeah, especially since I think she described the character as like an old white man in a white T-shirt or something. I was like, yeah, it sounds like the kind of dude that would do that.
Yeah,
that tracks.
What was your guys' favorite part of Field Notes, though? I know it's a big ask.
I think when she went home, when May went home, and the feelings kind of like hit her, and then she realized that when she was like going back through all the footage and stuff, and she actually started to recognize the signs that I've been smacking her in the face for three quarters of the book.
Yeah.
And then like just how dramatic she was, like, oh, it's too late now, guys, too late. It's all over. And then like her dad's there like,
yeah.
Got someone to tell me.
Are you kidding?
I think that was my favorite bit, but I'm just a sucker for like romance like that, you know, like that.
Oh, totally.
That I didn't know what was there.
I feel like my favorite was the texts between like Hugo and his siblings. And the whole thing is having those kind of different chats. Because especially, I mean, even more so now, when most of my interaction with family is through text, I've got, like, a chat with just my brother, a chat with my dad and my brother, a chat with my mum and my brother, and, like, there's always that thing of, okay, where do I send this particular meme? Who's going to appreciate this most? Is this just for my brother, or is this for the wider family? And there's that element of, like, them talking about each other behind their back in different chats, and I just really liked that. I thought that was great fun.
What about you guys?
I really appreciated that there... Like, I feel like so many books have conflict that is just the most avoidable and, like, irritating. So, like, I was super mad at Hugo for watching the video.
Oh, God, right?
Because, like, obviously that was a bad move. I get why he did.
Also,
but
did not
he
defend
also,
him.
Yeah, he also came clean about it pretty... Well, no, he didn't come clean on purpose. He, like, fucked up. And then he owned it.
His apology was pretty good, though.
His apology was genuine, and, like...
No, yeah.
I feel like it was, like, a valid thing that happened, and not, like... I don't know, he was hugging someone and then she walked in and then they had a giant fight
annoying.
Could have been avoided by a word.
Right.
And I also, when he was going to stay in that hostel in Chicago, and I was like, guys, just share the fucking hotel room. Like, you can get a cot. It's fine.
They're making such a big deal. Like, two people can't possibly sleep in the same room without sleeping in the same bed.
Right, and, like, maybe it's because I'm gay, and so, like, I frequently share a room with people that are of the gender I'm attracted to, and it's, like, not a thing.
I mean, just coming at this from, like, me and Laura are both bi, so I know, realistically, that lying in a bed even with somebody of the same sex or the opposite sex does not automatically mean all the fun bits stick together. There's got to be a couple of moves before that happens. So it's not like you go, oh, we're going to share the bed. Oh, no, our fun parts are now, like, just hanging out with one another. Like,
Exactly. If you just get in bed and you're in a situation where a stray, like, sneeze could slip something in, then it's like, then you both already realized you each want to have sex with the other person.
This was like,
was a decision you both made.
Well, and I'm sure that, like, the room was probably a queen or whatever, but, like, You could probably ask to be switched to a twin bedroom.
Yeah. How hot would it be?
Maybe they would have said no, and then you could have been like, can I have a cot? Which is what they did, but like, you could ask. Yeah. Unless it was like a game week or something, most hotels are willing to work with you.
Yeah, I was just about to say, most hotels, it's the opposite way around. It's just getting a twin room and asking for a queen. Mm-hmm. That's when you'd probably struggle, not the other way around. They'd be like, why don't you want to share a room together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was glad that they finally did, but also nobody wants to stay in a hostel. And if you don't have to and you have a paid for room.
I also just love how brave he was. Is there any other people with the same name that want to come on a trip?
Oh my god.
I was really mad at his girlfriend though in the beginning. I was like, oh my god, poor seriously. Thinking was this? What? Why did she think this was and why didn't he just be like, fuck you, I can't use these?
Yeah, that was the biggest leap in logic to me that was, and I get not wanting to hit up the girl who just broke up with you, but it would get it I don't know where he was, but and Ezra in that state would have found it slightly delicious to be able to call your ex and be like, hey, remember that nice gesture? It's not nice. wouldn't he want to take that opportunity? Theoretically?
Be like, fuck you, your gift was a bad one. Except he liked her and stuff still.
That's true. He was all like,
you know how
like
you broke my heart and you trampled on it and then broke up with me and gave me my birthday present? Well, now you need to pay more money to change the name.
Can we talk about what a fucking gossip Alfie is?
Oh my Christ.
Dude.
Alfie was so funny though.
Can you not tell everyone everything? When he met up with her for coffee in San Francisco and she's like, so Alfie told me the juicy parts but not the whole story, so I have a weird warped view of this and I'm mad about it.
Because Alfie doesn't have the whole fucking story.
Yeah.
I mean, so Alfie though, what a lad.
The worst part about Alfie was when he's like, oh, you know I've got a big mouth, and it's like, okay, you can't just be like, that's just the way I am, bro.
Yeah, I'm just gossipy all the time.
Oh, I guess I'm just kind of awful at keeping stuff to myself. That's just my character trait. Sorry, not sorry.
I guess so.
Ugh, Alfie.
But yeah, my favorite part. I don't know. I think there were a lot of little favorite parts I had. I really love towards the end when May kind of realizes Nana's truth in saying how young people always think they're the first to do something. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. When she's like, yeah, because how could anyone ever have felt this way before? And then all of, I guess it wasn't really one part, but a lot of the parts where it was kind of Hugo trying to or coming to the realization of what he wanted to do, and even if that was just traveling, because I was there, 2 years ago, I think I probably had a very different experience than Hugo, but yeah, it just resonated with me a lot, and it was a really, really, I don't know. Like I said, cozy book.
So I feel reading this book, I'm in that middle zone of relating to the characters at their age and also relating to all of their parents. And the fact that May was like, I'm going to take a cross-country trip with my roommate to California. And her dads were just they had some questions, but I would have been like, okay, give me her phone number and her mom's phone number and we should all talk about logistics because...
Also, we're gonna meet for dinner.
Right?
Surely.
And that doesn't even seem like an overbearing thing to me. It's just this makes sense that we've all met. I don't know, what if she's super terrible instantly or her mom's super homophobic and then you don't want to...
Parents meet roommates when they go... Yeah, when they move in.
Right! So, and then, Hugo's made more sense because he was like, I'm just going by myself, and his parents were like, okay, sure. I guess so, but for May to be like, yeah, just doing this at 18 with, and, I guess technically they're adults and they can do that, but I would have had more questions as a parent.
Yeah.
I felt like maybe part of why they allowed it is because she could be like, well, fuck you, I'm doing it anyways, and they couldn't stop her, but
it didn't seem they had that kind of relationship though. It felt like they could have said, at least, we'd really like to meet her first, without that being a contentious thing. And the fact that they didn't was a bit weird.
They didn't even try. Like, there wasn't even like a, oh, well, you can't meet her mom because of this reason. But, like, there was no effort to meet anyone's parents.
It would have been nice to see her, like, fumbling as well. Right. You know, like, you know, just that part where he's like, can I speak to her? And then she's, like, messaging Hugo and she's like, can you put on a lady voice?
Yeah, grab one of your sisters or something. Yeah, that would have been good.
God, but I totally would have wanted to do that shit at 18, and I probably would have, like, had a similarly well-thought-out cover story of, like, I'm just gonna take a trip by myself, and there's gonna be no boys there at all.
That seems weird you specified that.
I'm gonna suspiciously take my video camera.
Yeah.
With me for this girl that I don't know. Mm-hmm. With also not very much money, so, like, other than I'm not trying to, like, make this, like, dirty, but, like, I'm gonna go on this cross-country trip that I don't have the money for with my video camera.
And my new roommate, who's also a girl. Both of these are sketchy.
And, like, was she just gonna keep it a secret forever, or was she just... I did kind of feel like she expected her nan to tell them, like, as soon as she left.
I think she did expect that, honestly.
And then she was just gonna deal with the fallout.
Yeah. Yeah. Nan should have been her Archie. Not Archie, Alfie. Nan should have been her Alfie, and she just didn't. So then May had to be like, oh yeah, I've been lying to you actually for weeks now, soz. Suddenly making it so much worse than if it had just been, like, they found out the day after and they could have got their freak out of the way. Although they seemed very chill about it. If I'd been the parents in that situation, I think I would have flipped out, mostly because of the lying. Like, why wouldn't you tell me who you were actually with? Because what if you'd been murdered and I had no idea who was there?
Right.
And then you would have been like, of course she was with her new roommate, and the police would have been like,
no, she wasn't, though.
What kind of terrible parents are you that you don't even know who she's with?
Yeah. And it's like, at that point, too, how are you going to track her down? Because, like, she's probably somewhere in the middle of the country, and it's like, oh my God, think about your poor father.
It's a big country, you guys. It's really big.
It's all here.
So many places she could be murdered.
You know, Hugo's having, like, so many little midlife crises about the size of this country, but at no point do they stop to think.
And we're here, untraceable.
I mean, what a fun crossover, though. Like, imagine if, like, Field Notes and Love, like, sort of met the interview.
They stopped in Riverdale along the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then, like, got involved in that weird vampire situation.
Oh, hey,
and then
there's a hotel opening.
Like, oh, you know how I massively lied to you? Well, now I'm a vampire.
I went to this party at Cheryl's house, and...
Now I'm undead.
Now, yeah. But
it
don't worry,
like,
we're
going
to kill this other vampire and it'll be fine.
It's so cash, don't worry about it. Don't
it would be the second book in the series, and it, like, them, the whole vampire thing is like a big test to their relationship.
Yeah.
Just to, like, make sure they can actually...
Well, and then there's
got to
be
some,
like, some love triangle stuff where, like, oh, Archie's being flirty with May because Archie can't keep it in his pants.
Archie seems to flirt with everybody.
Yes.
That's accurate.
But Hugo really wants to share a coffin with May.
Yeah.
But Archie's bought a coffin. Like, so which coffin is May going to pick? And then Betty's there, Betty with her eyes.
Yes.
And, you know... Mm-hmm. Veronica has changed her outfit now, so she's definitely not even the same person because she's changed her outfit.
She's very goth.
Garrett shows up because he realized he loved May after all, and he gets turned into a vampire.
He'd be one of those, like, super existential philosophical vampires, wouldn't he? He'd be so broody.
Yeah,
God, what is that movie with the super hipster vampires? Only Lovers Left Alive?
I knew you were going there.
It's super good. And what is his name? Tom Hiddleston?
You got it.
And Tilda Swinton are vampires, and they're extremely aesthetic, and it's filmed in Detroit, which is also extremely aesthetic. And basically, they just have infinite time. So Tilda Swinton's thing is books, and Tom Hiddleston's thing is music, and they just do that for eternity.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty choice.
That sounds like a mood.
Well, that's the series that we need. That's the series that
we need. It's very arty, yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
That's who Garrett would be as a vampire, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Just pining in his room full of films?
He would just sit around and endlessly critique classic films, because he's that kind of guy.
Oh, May, all your interviews of, like, Betty and the gang, just subpar. Where is the emotion?
Oh, my God.
You didn't interview yourself, May.
Oh,
I was so ready to hate
him. Because you're dead? Make it work.
You lost your only opportunity to get in front of the camera, May.
God. That guy.
Now you never will. Damn it. I would read that.
Do you have, like, a Justice Award? We love a Justice Award, so we tend to hand them out to either characters who didn't get the justice that they need, or sometimes, like, a plot thread that comes to nothing but gets mentioned. And I actually can't remember what ours was.
I don't know if we have, but I like that.
Joe, I think you did justice for the grandmother because you were like, why does this always happen to grandparents in YA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I was torn between then the grandparents or the old couple they interview.
Yeah.
Because I think I wanted more of them, but that I think was that's really sweet. Make more sense.
Yeah. I could have, like, watched a movie just about the all of their meals, like she was talking about.
I want to be that old couple.
Seriously, right?
That was so cute.
I don't know about you guys, but for the old dude and the couple, I was picturing, like, one of those kind of, like, short, like, Texan-looking guys with, like, very white hair and, like, a big mustache.
Aww. Like the guy from The Big Lebowski?
Maybe. I don't remember what he looks like.
He looks like a cowboy.
Kind of like Sam Elliott, yeah.
Yeah.
Except shorter and fatter.
Elliot. I know who that is.
He was just picturing a cowboy.
He's on the ranch.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely the right person. With the mustache. He's like...
Exactly. He's got to have the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's a good one. I'm trying to think, like, in either of them, characters I wanted more of. Or plots.
I like how Jason Blossom just wasn't in Interview with the Vixen at all.
I did actually like that, yeah.
In the comics...
I have a few questions. Is he the twin of Cheryl?
Yes.
Or is he just... Yeah, okay. So why is he in Switzerland?
So,
and she's just like subpar, not even allowed to go to Switzerland.
In Riverdale,
she has to carry on her education.
I think it's a Riverdale thing, because in Riverdale he's like dead.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, we don't want to include him. But in the comics, Cheryl is so... like the original comics, Cheryl's super different. She's like the feistiest, sassy girl who has no shame for anything and always does crazy shit and just comes out on top because she doesn't give a fuck. So, like, she, I think there's one comic where she's like, I'm gonna make a movie, and she just, it's the worst bad movie ever.
Gosh.
It's like Sharknado levels. And then everyone is laughing and she's like, yeah, I did make this fucking great movie because I'm the best at everything I've ever done. And Jason's characterization is he's just like, I don't know, a kind of bad boy that has a crush on Betty and,
like
kind of goes along with Cheryl, but, like, doesn't
bastard.
Always. And then in Riverdale, the show, they have this weird incest thing going where they seem to be in love with each other, but it's not clear.
Well, that's a
And Riverdale's actually based on...
That's shown up.
It's actually based on Afterlife with Archie, loosely, which was another Archie horror title where the incest
the
was canon. And, he wasn't dead in that one. That's the one where Sabrina brings Hot Dog, the dog, back to life, and then he's turns everyone into zombies. Riverdale's got a lot going on.
Pet Cemetery with Archie.
So, yeah, Jason,
I'm not laughing at any of that. I'm laughing at Laura's reaction.
So putting him in Switzerland was like the simplest way. They were like, we don't want to kill him off because there's enough angst already. Uh-huh. We don't want him to be sleeping with his sister, so let's just put him in Switzerland.
We should have asked Rebecca about that. I didn't think to.
Yeah.
I'll email her.
I was gonna say, we're gonna have her on again.
Yeah.
We'll ask her.
Yeah, ask her and just say the island really wants to know.
Inquiring minds on the desert island are wondering, why is he in Switzerland? Because I was like, when Joe asked me about justice, I think my answer was justice for the brother. Although it took me a while to remember that he was there, which is why I was like, that's why he deserves justice, because I forgot he existed.
Yeah.
Maybe Switzerland is a metaphor, and he's actually dead.
It's like, he's in a better place now, by which I mean Switzerland, by which I also mean dead.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, in the TV show, it's very weirdly set up, like, how he dies, because him and Cheryl, like, literally go down to the lake holding hands, both dressed exactly the same. She's in a white dress, crisp white dress, and he's in, like, a crisp white shirt, chinos, and then they end up in the lake, drowning.
They, like,
in
a rowboat, like...
Yeah.
And
I
then
don't
they
know
cut to
how
Cheryl,
much...
like, streak mascara on the shore, soaking wet.
I think I need to watch this show because it sounds really weird.
Season one is like,
oh, yeah.
We did a podcast like, about it. You want
to listen
along?
At some point, it gets to the point where Cheryl calls Jason, at this point now dead, her soulmate, where it's like that kind of level of stuff.
Like, yeah. I love Ezra, but I don't think I would call you my soulmate. Sorry.
Megan, you're wicked, not my soulmate.
And we're close siblings.
We're very close, but yeah.
We do a podcast together.
Yeah, we talk more than any siblings
yes.
should. No.
Probably.
That's not true.
Talking about weird relationships in Interview yeah. with the Vixen, they really laid on the whole daddy thing from Veronica, didn't they? Like, it's
yeah.
in the show quite predominantly, but then it was just that every time she's like, daddy, mom. Daddy, mom.
Yeah.
Like, why is she so daddy? Why has she got so many daddy issues?
I think, honestly, that's like issues. A big yeah. holdover from the comics. And
she
also
calls them
probably,
daddykins in the comics.
Oh, wow. So
yeah,
even
it's not
yeah.
It's way worse.
Yeah.
It's also probably like, honestly, some character building on Rebecca's part to play into the aforementioned daddy issues that are major in this book. Because, as you guys know, that's, like, a big part of it, too, right?
Yeah, like, you could tell that she would quite happily live with the fact that her mom is dead, but her dad, oh God. It's worse than a car accident, knowing that her dad is dead. I mean, it goes, Pearls, dad dead, being a vampire.
I know, and it's always the shittiest dads that get those reactions,
yeah.
too.
Well, that's because they've got the issues from them.
She's got so that's much true. Left to yeah. prove to yeah. him. How's she going to prove him wrong about her if he's dead? That's, like,
that's
the
true.
Whole...
Yeah, her mom just fucking loves her like a nerd.
Yeah, what a loser, God.
What a nerd.
Doesn't have to prove anything
so
to that. Yeah. What am I going to prove to you,
what
mom?
What character traits can I build off this? Well-adjusted? That ain't going to sell books. Out of the way, mom.
That won't sell tickets.
God.
Oh, that's good.
But shout out to the rest of the Riverdale parents who
yes.
did not show up at all in this book. Gave zero shits about
oh,
their
God,
kids.
Yeah.
Della's mom just like,
you want pig blood? Here.
Just like, hey, yeah, bring this girl over. Hide out in the room making exploding steaks. It's all cool.
Dalton is definitely, because he's very different in Riverdale too, but in the comics
he's
super
like
genius that can invent anything.
Uh-huh.
Like at one point he invents a portal to another dimension.
What?
Yeah,
he invents,
that he uses
like,
as a fucking closet.
Yeah. He's just like, how Archie Comics gets away with doing whatever they want. That, and the fact
basically.
That Mr. Lodge is canonically the richest man in the world.
World.
Okay.
The world, yeah.
The world.
So between Veronica's money and Dalton's genius, they can do anything and just be like,
yes.
money genius, it's fine.
Money plus genius
like,
equals any of the
We regularly have Santa, elves, aliens.
Yeah, elves are a thing.
Basically anything else you can imagine.
There's one comic that I've never read and I need a copy of it more than anything, where Betty gets amnesia and joins the circus as a bikini mud wrestler, and that's a thing that happens in Archie Comics.
God, I love Archie
and
Comics.
I want it so bad.
That sounds
like, please,
amazing.
Find and send
yeah.
me this comic.
There's so many good ones. I mean, there's The Visit, which we did with another podcast.
It's just aliens that I think
it's just
like
a random
take them
strip
for sex purposes.
Yeah, they're like, it's like a big muscly man alien
and
like
he's
a
like,
big
I
muscly
want Betty
woman
and Veronica,
alien.
And the woman's like, well, and I want Archie for reasons.
Their names are like Blort and Bickzack or something like that. It's like when they couldn't think of alien names in the 70s, so they just smashed some word letters together.
Okay.
Yep.
It's my favorite.
Plot twist.
Yeah, it gets real weird.
Vampires are like the
yeah,
miserable.
I didn't realize
for
that
real,
vampires
though.
Are basically just mainstream as far as Archie is
People
concerned.
Think Archie and they think like love triangle between teens, and that's a large part of Archie, but...
And that's a lot of vampire fiction.
It's a deep well. It's been around
yeah,
for 80 years.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's crazy, man.
Oh, there was something we wanted to ask, because yeah. obviously,
oh, please.
For listeners as well, like, you could probably tell that me and Laura are British, we live in England. So, there are a
I
couple
had no
of
idea.
Things.
We hide it well.
We hid it well. We hide it so well. So when we were reading, I was trying, well, Laura asked me, and I didn't actually know because I'm not that versed in it. But Riverdale was founded by families, and we wondered, is that quite normal in America? Like,
because I know in Vampire Diaries, the founding families is a big thing too. And then when I read this, and it was like, oh, the founding families. I was like, is this really a thing? Or is this not so much a thing, but it's played up in some fiction?
I feel like that's more of a thing on the East Coast, because that's, like, the original cities were on, like, you know, New York, New England area, and you actually know history in that part of the country. Like, right. I live in Chelsea, Michigan, which was, like, it's not even, I think it was technically incorporated as a city in, like, the 90s, and so
we
there's really
alive.
Not anything
I remember
there.
When it happened.
Like, it was a village before that, but, like, I don't know who... Who founded it, or why?
My guess is that it used to happen more, and so there's probably a few towns where it's like, oh yeah, they're one of the founding families.
Or if you're a history nerd.
I don't know. I guess, like, actually, in the city I went to school in, I don't know if they were quite founding families, but there were, like, two or three families that were, like, instrumental in the... early days of the town, okay. Just because, like, they owned a lot of land or they had a lot of money, so they could do a lot. I don't know. That's a good question. That's one of those things that I just kind of am like, yeah, sure.
It's like a thing in media more than in real life.
I was thinking like Schitt's Creek, you know, like the comedy series, like the Schitts still live there, don't they? Like, he's the mayor.
Yeah.
So isn't that technically set in Canada though?
Is that set in Canada?
I think it is set in Canada. But that is a good point. I'm sure it still happens, honestly.
I definitely don't think where I live in Derbyshire they've got a founding father. I don't think we have that.
I feel like if you did have a founding father in Derbyshire, they'd be very, very old.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the lakes. We have a lot of, like, cause we have the Peak District. So maybe it's the lakes or the founding fathers, really. Maybe the lakes are the people.
The Water Fathers.
We should start our own comic series based on the secret founding family.
The Lakes.
Which is actually the Lakes.
Lake Fathers is so much better. What did I say? Okay. Never mind. Continue.
I'm trying to think of some of my favourite parts of Interview with the Vixen, just to...
I hands down have a favourite part of Interview with the Vixen, which is the part where Veronica is like...
Okay.
Oh, the old Veronica would have turned her nose up at killing someone. As if, like, it would have been an etiquette to kill someone before.
Oh,
but
Veronica.
Now that she's a vampire, she's over that particular social nicety.
I fully ship Cheryl Veronica pairing.
Oh my
that
god,
is,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
There were
I love
vibes
it.
There.
To the nth degree.
We asked Rebecca about that, and she was like, I don't know, maybe it could be what was implied by that. And I was like, yes, I'll write this fanfiction and mail it to you.
There we go. Maybe it'll be the next Twilight.
Yeah.
Or wait, no, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey.
You never ever know. I mean, in this day and age, you literally will never know.
Really, we'll never know. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not calling them out, but the film after. Is it After We Collided? Yeah, After We Collided.
What's that?
No one saw that coming. It used to be a Harry Styles fan fiction.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
That's
amazing.
I'm looking that shit up.
Yeah. Which is why I think the person's American who wrote it. Don't quote me on this, though. I haven't really done all of my history on it.
It sounds about right.
Maybe cut this part out, because I don't want to shame anybody.
I was just about to ask you guys about your favorite fan fiction, so I think we'll have to keep it in.
Oh, okay, that's fine. So, when they cast the characters for the Netflix film, Harden is, I think, obviously he's meant to be Harry Styles, and he's so British. But I mean, even when I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh my god, he's more than like the Queen's British. He's just like a different level of British. That
super
British. I'm just a bit like.
They've made a new kind of British.
Yeah, literally. Like, it's leveled up.
I did like that we talked about Field Notes on Love because it's like in the US and in England. And as podcasters, we're also from those places.
I know, it's a nice little joining. Now we all just need to take a train together when there's not a, you know,
after the
pandemic.
We can take a train all over the place.
Yeah.
From
the US
England to
the
US.
UK. Yes.
Yeah.
and lie to our parents about who we're traveling with in the true spirit of the book.
We'll have to wear blindfolds, I guess. I don't know. That's getting weird.
Yeah, a bit weird.
It's a little bit. Hey guys, what's your favorite fan fiction?
Why are you
do not have
this?
To answer that.
This is
you
not
don't have to answer
doing.
That. It was a joke. It was a joke.
Well, I used to be a fan fiction writer. Same.
Fabulous.
What?
So I'm gonna say my work.
Good. What? Good answer.
What did you write about?
I used to write Harry Potter fan fiction. That's all I'll say.
I've read a lot of Harry Potter fan fiction. So,
but I'm trying to keep the two mm-hmm. worlds separate. But I'm proud that I came from fan fiction.
Nice.
And I'm proud that I wrote it, but I don't want to, like, say the pieces or my name, my pen name.
That's
so
okay.
I'm gonna...
okay. I'm obsessed That's with fair. The show Twin Peaks, and there's a very limited amount of fan fiction because it's niche and it's mostly old people that like it, and so they don't write fan fiction as much. So I think I have read all of the fan fiction for Twin Peaks. But one of my favorite games with my wife is to look up, like, for whatever show we're watching, like, what the top pairing is for fanfiction.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
It's fun. And then sometimes it's, like, a straight couple, and I'm like, what is this? I don't understand.
Just watch the fucking show.
Yeah, I'll just watch any media, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
My only real experience, I don't know if I've read a ton of fanfiction, to be honest. I think really my only experience with it was in college. I was dating someone who was, like, way into certain fandoms. And so, as a gesture that went completely unappreciated, one night I sat down and wrote, like, a 12-page fanfic.
Oh my god, that's so cute!
That combined all of their, like, favorite fandoms.
What fandom
and I'm still
are
quite
you talking
proud
about?
Of that. What's that?
What fandoms are they?
It was, like, 7 or 8 of them.
Like, I don't know who this, like, person is, so you can tell us.
Yeah, let's
We're not
see. Okay,
tell
so
them.
It was Doctor Who, Supernatural, Marvel's Thor and Loki, Lord of the Rings, specifically Frodo and Sam.
Okay.
Sherlock. God, I feel like there was more. Oh, Attack on Titan.
wow.
And I think Nicolas Cage made it in there.
Okay, just the guy.
Just the man, Nicolas Cage.
I do get weirded out when there's fanfiction about, like, real people and not characters. Like,
he was the villain of it, at least.
I think it's, like, I don't know, it's almost too far for me.
Yeah, that was it,
though. Yeah, there is something a bit odd about writing fanfiction about. Like, the ones where you take people who really exist, and you set it in this world mm-hmm. where they really exist, and you just treat them like puppets. And it's like, these are real human beings. Like, they're not characters that someone else has made up that you can take some creative liberty with.
There's a podcast I follow, and, like, someone my wife knows is, like, big in the, like, the fan community for this podcast, and she wrote a fan fiction of, like, one of the hosts with, like, a guy they talked about a lot, and there was so much drama, and I think she got, like, kicked out of the fan club or something.
Whoa.
It was a lot.
Yo, that's why you don't write non-consensual fanfic, guys.
So as a disclaimer for all the listeners, I love fanfiction. Write all the fanfiction your heart desires, but please do not include me in it. Please.
Make it consensual, guys. Just like everything, fanfiction should be consensual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am off limits. My face, my voice,
agree.
And my hair.
Yes. Or, and, like, okay, no, I'm not even going to put that out there.
Yeah, don't open the door.
Just don't do it. Just
keep it closed.
Please. All right.
Well, now that we've discussed fanfic.
Hey, I told you guys you didn't have to answer, okay?
Yes.
You did say that, you did.
I did say that.
Very true.
Fanfiction is the way to do it, I guess.
It's how you get
That's
famous.
That's our official decree.
That's the lesson to take from this podcast that was not initially about fanfiction at all.
You guys, let's start a spin-off about fanfiction. That would be great.
I mean, I'm down.
We can read, critique, discuss.
Did we not read
something?
For this podcast.
I feel like
we'll do dramatic
readings.
No, it's fine. I was just trying to say, did we not read some fan fiction for today's episode? We read some.
Sure. No, I just meant like it wasn't about fan fiction in general. We were supposed to be talking about two quite specific books. No, that's fair.
But if it's just fan fiction about Archie comics, and then fan fiction about love.
Aww, isn't all stories fan fiction about love?
Yes. That's all a love story is.
Yeah.
What was it? Oh, I watched The Haunting of Bly Manor recently.
Ooh.
And like one of the takeaways is, isn't aren't all ghost stories just love stories? And it's like, no. I don't think that's true.
Pretty sure that's not the case.
Not all of them.
Definitely not. I mean,
what about Friday the 13th, guys?
The love story for the ages.
I mean, we're definitely going into territory now that I won't be able to relate to because I'm too terrified of horror films.
That's incredibly fair. Yeah.
Like, even just the thought of Friday the 13th, I'm like, oh god, no. No.
Just the mere concept of it.
Hey, we just had Friday the 13th.
I was going to say, yeah, were you having a rough day on Friday?
The date I'm fine with. The date is fine. The movie or anything like fictional related to it, I'm like, oh no. Definitely someone's going to die. I'm not down. If you both were going to a desert island and you could only take Interview with the Vixens or Field Notes on Love, which one would you take?
Oof. That's a hard question. So I feel like
that is a hard
Field
question.
Notes on Love is such a like, happy bite of like, I don't know, this is a nice story about travel that you can't do right now. And some teens making questionable choices. But also, Interview with the Vixen is teens making terrible choices and going to parties, which I also can't do right now.
And becoming vampires, which I can't do ever.
Ends up with a pool battle.
That is true.
Where someone gets staked.
That's my favorite part of Field Notes.
I think I'm going to say Interview with the Vixen because I love the little horror and also Veronica's fun fashion montages were pretty great.
Those were good.
And then I can write my Cheryl Veronica fan fiction in the sand.
Oh, yes. And it just becomes the island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go with Field Notes, honestly. Like, aww. I really loved Interview with the Vixen. Like, it was super fun, but I was just thinking, is that a book that I want to just reread? And being honest, there's some parts that were a little bit too gross for me.
There is some.
That made me a little physically uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff with veins really fucked me up. So fair, I don't want to just, like, reread that forever.
Fair.
And Field Notes on Love was just such a fun little, like, happy time, and, like, to be able to, like, step off the island and go somewhere else in a train sounds really nice. Yeah.
It's very wholesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, very, very wholesome.
It's definitely. The conflict didn't make me too upset, you know?
Yeah.
Right. At no point was I like, God, you guys fucking suck.
Yeah, I didn't ever hate the characters.
Yeah, they were two people trying to do basically the right thing and occasionally making inevitable mistakes. But, like, they were good people at the end of the day.
Yeah, being teens.
And everybody makes dumb mistakes at that age. Like, you can't not. They're pretty good mistakes for being 18-year-olds on a train going across
the country. Remarkably smart 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
I was struck by how witty and clever they were. I was like, no teens are these cool.
But also, he did immediately lose his credit
card. Oh my god. I mean, talk about grieving his parents exactly right. Like, arise in a new country.
God, thank god it wasn't his parents.
How does his replacement card work that he was like, can you mail it to the hotel? And then he gets to the hotel and his mom's like, yeah, I guess it didn't show up. It's like, did you ask it to? Like, did you mail it to the wrong hotel? I don't understand what you mean. It's holding out. I know it was a joke that it's holding out for the beach, but like...
Is that your way of saying I forgot to call them? Because if that's the case, just let me know.
Also, why didn't Hugo call them?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of questions about the credit card situation. Because, in my experience, it takes minimum a week for a new card to arrive.
Yeah.
And that's to, my own address where they have it on record. If I'm like, hey, yeah, this isn't suspicious at all, but can you just post a new credit card to a country I don't live in? To a hotel?
I was going
to
say.
Like, what credit card company is going to be like, that is totally legit, have it tomorrow?
Like,
right.
I guess when I've seen media before where this happens, it's been like, wire some money to the hotel.
Yeah.
But
like Western Union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see that happening. Of course, then he's just got a bunch of cash, which isn't great either.
No, not much better.
But, like, I can send money on my phone to people, and he had his phone, so, like, couldn't he use his phone to, like, pay May back or something? I don't know.
They directly referenced that.
Yeah.
Like, her, she's like, she buys something, and he's like, how do you know I'm good for it? And she's like, you can just pay me on your phone.
He's but like, they never talked about it again.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I've had an experience with my bank where I needed a new debit card because mine was expiring, and they were like, we don't know, it's definitely you. So in 7 days, you need to come into the bank and sign for it. And I was like, okay, can you just send it to my house? And he's like, no, we don't trust that it's you. We need to see you in person.
See, Joe, if only you'd said, can you send it to a random hotel in America? They'd have been like, yes.
Yeah.
100% we will send it overseas.
That's crazy.
We won't even send it to your house, but we will send it overseas. So, like, I think as well, because Hugo's from England, I'm even more suspicious of that part of the book because English banks are not easy breezy. Like, they constantly lock your card as well. Like,
oh my God,
when I travel, they just go like, oh, you were last at the airport and now you're in Ibiza. That must mean someone's cloned your card. It couldn't be that you've flown from the airport that you used your card in to Ibiza. No, we're going to cut you off. Cut you straight off.
2 months ago, we had charges saying you were buying tickets from London Heathrow to Ibiza. But this couldn't possibly be you.
Exactly.
We'll just go ahead and set that on fire for you. What did you guys think of the books? Which would you take to the island with you?
Oh, so we had like quite a long conversation, didn't we, about Interview with the Vixens, like so close
it's
for both
so
of us.
It's so much fun. So, and I was kind of tempted, but at the same time, I think Field Notes on Love would edge it out for me, just because I think it's got a similar amount of fun and kind of breeziness, but without the vampires biting each other in the neck type deal.
See, I think if Interview with the Vixen, if part two and part three were like together, so then I had the next bit, so it's ended more satisfying. I think it probably edge out, because if I'm going to be stuck on, as lovely as our island is that we've welcomed you to today, as lovely as it is, I still want like a satisfying ending. I don't want to be like going, oh, what's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. Because I don't get books on the island. So never going to know.
From like a just reading this point of view, I loved the way the end left me like, oh, there are so many interesting directions this could take. But for an island read where I may not get another book for like, I don't know how long until our next chance to restock our bookshelves, that ain't gonna fly. Right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But I am so interested in reading the next book.
As someone who would always choose horror over most genres, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That makes sense.
Horror person.
It's a good
Although
horror.
Although I don't like horror, but I did really like the fun, like, sort of adjectives that were used in this book and how they could get away with it. Like, describing that vein. I don't want to say too much because for Ezra's sake. But, like, the description around the biting, I thought that was really fun compared to, like, say, an adult's horror book where it does borderline nearly passing out.
Yes.
Whereas in this, because of the age it's targeted at, it allowed it to be quite fun and use adjectives that you wouldn't normally use for those sort of things and get away with it, which actually added to, like, the fun when reading it.
Yeah.
It was, like, incredibly effective without being too over the top.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I
like
that.
That was, like, the only reason that I was really able to get through it was like, exactly that point.
Well, it's interesting too, because when we talked to her, she was like, yeah, because she had a phobia that came up in the book too. And
yes,
I think spiders, she didn't say it explicitly because she was avoiding spoilers, but she was like, it was pretty hard to write that part.
And that was a scary ass spider too.
I have like a really big fear of, I don't like spiders anyway, but huge spiders that could literally gobble you up. Mainly because of the media. So, Lord of the Rings. Harry Potter. Dude. And then this book.
Tolkien has a lot to answer for.
When in the film as well, when they shot it, and it's like, I was literally like, oh my god, that is actually like my nightmare come alive, and I'm watching it, and now I'm gonna forever have this imprinted.
Harry Potter also has the giant spiders, right?
Yeah.
Dude, that second Harry Potter scared the fuck out of me, I'll tell you what.
Poor Ron.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But it's alright, we got the comeuppance that we all desired in film 6 when the spider died.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, Aragog spider was kind of a dick after all. Yeah.
He's like, I am going to eat Harry and Ron. Yeah, for sure.
It's like, oh, my kids are hungry and you're here.
What can you do?
Very good.
Cool. Is there anything else we want to touch on before we wrap up?
I don't think there's anything else.
We even covered fanfiction. No, I think I'm quite... Well, thank you. Like, I don't know how you normally end, but we end normally with a huge gratitude section.
Thanks so much for recording.
I just want to say thank you for having us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. It's been amazing. Super fun.
Yeah. Loved every second.
Do we all want to plug our social media or website or whatever for people to find us?
Yeah, let's do that.
So if anybody's interested in listening to more of us, we've got our website, josephtheislandlibrary.com.
It is.
So yeah, you can find us at theislandlibrary.com where you can find links to all our episodes. You can also check out our Patreon if you are so inclined. We run a book club, which we are still welcoming new members to. And you can also find us on Instagram.
You can find basically everything of ours on our website. Which is... That's going to be RiverdaleHighAV.club. Sorry, Megan.
I was just going to say, we're the Riverdale High AV Club, too, to remind you.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, like RiverdaleHighAV.club. It's got all our social media, our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, our email, all our episodes. You can also find us at wherever good podcasts are found. You know, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever. The cool ones. But yeah, I think that's honestly really it. So thank you guys again. This was such a blast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. It's been so much fun meeting you and collaborating on this bonus episode.
You know, if we ever want to do this again, I'm down.
For sure.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah.